Darrell. Let's get it fired up and I can get it introed. All right, good morning, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Calker meeting on the 12th floor of the Capitol today. Holy cow. Get the noise settled down. It is Monday, April 14th, approximately 10 a.m. It's a work session for wind decommissioning on four different cases, PU 13793, 794, 795, and 796. Basically, the Minn Kota Power, Basin Electric, and we've got two that are FPL, a 21-megawatt wind farm and a 40.5-megawatt wind farm. A little background, I guess, on this is these were all farms that were started in operation more than 10 years ago, so now the commission is looking at what we're going to do, if we're going to do anything on some type of financial assurances. And so I guess we'll figure out the best way to kick this off. But, Randy, do you have any thoughts on how you want to do this today?
Well, I don't really have opening comments. I guess I think first let's hear from Jerry. I think our last work session probably – I think it's safe to say it was clear that the commission felt that something needs to be done in this regard. I think we're that far along with a decision, and I'm curious what Jerry has come up with for ideas, and then I'll probably have some things to add or subtract from that.
Okay. Ryan, did you have anything that before we turned over to Jerry that you wanted to put out there today?
The main thing would be, I think Jerry's going to touch on this too, is the procedure as to how to go forward. We open up an investigation to determine whether or not financial assurances would be needed. There is an issue with just issuing an order straight away. We would need to do a notice of opportunity at the very least. This is not an adjudicative proceeding, so to issue an order straight from an investigation would require some. Alana and I have been trying to figure out exactly what that would require, but at the very least it would require notice to the not only to the company but also to the neighbors in the area who are going to be impacted by this by these wind farms should the companies go belly up and they are not decommissioned properly.
We just got rolling. So, Ryan, what you're saying procedurally, though, so just to make sure I understand what I think you told me. So the commission opened up an investigation because we were required to. It said we may do this, so I guess technically we didn't have to open up anything.
Discretionary, and there's an issue with the rules there too.
Okay, yeah. So then, the choices we'd have are we could just do nothing and just kind of let this fade away, or we could then move forward. And if we move forward with anything, you're saying that we would need to do a notice of some type, and then if these parties themselves wanted to have a formal hearing, they could, or anyone else could.
They could. Yep, that's correct. I talked with Alana, and she actually said, check with Al Hoberg, he might know. And so I talked with Al Hoberg, and he was kind of confused as to how we would go about this as well, because the rules state that we may, after 10 years, order financial assurances. Some of these, we had talked about FPL, for example, wasn't cited by the commission, so it's not like we could go in and amend a previously existing order. So the issue, what we might need to do is we might have to sit down with FPL and come up with a consent order, essentially, if the company agrees to whatever assurances the commission or staff in this matter would deem appropriate, then we could maybe put together a consent order. It would still need to be noticed, but at least that would be the easiest way. Now, if the commission decides they want to issue or order financial assurances and the company disagrees with that, we would then have to have a hearing and actually do an adjudicative proceeding, put together a record, and then issue an order out of that hearing. But we can't just open an investigation and say, here's an order, because the investigation, the purpose is to determine whether or not further action is needed. And so now the question is, if we determine further action, how do we proceed from here? One of the questions you had asked me was, at the last work session, what kind of action do we take to take no action? And that would just be a motion to close the investigations if we don't want to order any further financial assurance. So that was just following up on one of your questions you'd asked me last time. So, but assuming we want to take action, then we need to determine what action we want to take and how to notice that. And I think Jerry's kind of worked on a notice for that too.
So. Okay. Well, go ahead, Jerry, if you...
Well,
we'll probably get into a free discussion here after that.
We haven't gotten a clear as Ryan was saying, we haven't gotten a clear idea of how we're going forward or how to go forward. But I started to draft something that I called a notice of intent to require financial assurance. And it might have to say a notice of opportunity for hearing. But it would basically consist of a period for receiving written comments and proposals under, there's a administrative code section there, the one that talks about what kind of financial assurances we can have. So I was going to suggest that we could just open up a comment period for receiving proposals under that section as to what kind, and so the company can tell us what they want to do and propose something. And we'd have them file their proposal for commission approval and go from there. That would be for the two FPL cases. So we'd have a different document in each case. And then the other two cases, I think I understood there that you just we're going to close the Minn Kota investigations and not do anything there. And on the Basin one, to roll that into their other Prairie Winds farm and consider those turbines with that one. And so I was thinking with the Basin case, we would probably just do an order, a short little order that said that we would consider those, whether to require financial assurance for those two turbines with the, along with whatever we do for the Prairie Winds. And then for the Minn Kota one, just a motion like Ryan was saying, just close it. I don't know if we want to give any explanations.
I guess I don't disagree with your summary there because I think that's pretty accurate from the last work session. The in thinking about this since the last work session, the problem I have is how do we layer this down to where, okay, like we talked about before, I'm not so worried about a Basin Electric or a Minn Kota because they've got, you know, a lot of resources. They've got the, they have other plants. They have generation that's built. They have plans to take them down. I would, quite honestly, a company like FPL next there, I'm not quite honestly worried about them either. They've got very good agreements they have with their landowners. They have a lot of resources. That's not to say a big company like that can't have problems either. But then we go down one level lower, which we don't have anything here in front of us now, but you've got a single wind farm with a single company that's selling power to somebody. Those are the ones that I'm more concerned about, if you will. So trying to figure out, looking ahead, how we could do that.
You've got...
Say that again, the scenario, a single wind farm, like somebody who's net metering?
No, well, no, not that so much. Let's say Ryan's wind farm, where Ryan puts together enough capital that he goes out and gets a 60-megawatt wind farm built, and he sells the power to Basin Electric. Okay, well, the only... It's just his company.
Yeah.
And so it's
like maybe the sunflower ones, you know, that's a scenario.
Theoretically, there's a difference in my mind between a company that's been doing business nationwide in North Dakota for years versus a company that just kind of pops up. And that's thinking ahead to these cases, but that's kind of where I'm kind of struggling with, you know, what to do with that different levels of private companies, if you will.
I would kind of struggle with us, though, picking winners and losers. Agreed. In that, you know, and saying, well, geez, we really like Basin Electric, so you don't have to, but then implying that we don't like some other company, so they do have to.
No, but it's not Basin Electric, though, Randy. It's, yeah, Basin is a cooperative. I would classify them in a whole different bucket. I would put Basin and Minn Kota in a bucket the same as you'd put MDU, Otter Tail, and Excel, that they're a category that has memberships that goes back and gets money for rate recovery to decommission. I would put those kind of in one box, and then I'd put your major companies that have lots of assurances in the second bucket, if you will, and the third being smaller startups. So it's not the mix between Basin and a company.
I understand what you mean, but I think just on a competitively neutral ground, to me, I think they all belong in the same box. I have a lot of faith in our coal companies too, but we just they make sure that they've laid it out and it's clear with financiers and people who invest in the company and people who might want to buy off a part of the company. They either have a bond or they have a self-bond that's on their books or something like that, and it's clearly laid out. I do want to jump back so this point isn't forgotten. Jerry, if I understood you right, you mentioned with the Minn Kota ones, because I do agree that when there's only a single turbine or two or three, I'm fine with not doing those, and like in Basin's case, rolling that those two, was it, in with one of their farms when those get to that age. But I don't think it would be appropriate to just, like in the Minn Kota case, to just close the hearing and not address it. I think it should be acknowledged that we're not requiring it because of the size of the wind farm. For the very reason in the previous discussion, I think there should be some clarity as to why we didn't require them, because it was only these two turbines, and so we didn't, as opposed to that we are just picking companies that we like or have more trust in or have a different financial setup to their company.
Jerry, can you remind me from our last session, I thought we had a plan more than just closing the case for those two in recognition of the fact that they were really visible and close to
the Minn Kota ones?
Yeah.
We can throw those things together if you want a short little order on reasons why. When I said just close it, I was thinking it might be easier not to explain why, because it does make you make a decision on where your lines are drawn. This way we don't have to make that decision. We just didn't think that they needed to. We have discretion whether they need to file some financial assurance. And in this case, it's a utility with two little turbines. And so we can say those things.
Well, I think we need to set up something that's consistent and, you know,
yeah,
and lays it out. I thought I agree with the idea that the company proposes to us what they'd like, and then we can take it from there. But I think that whatever we do needs to be consistent between companies and
see, we got clear. Basin, we've got two little turbines, and we're going to roll that in with their other turbines, really, just because they're nearby.
Right. But that, what's wrong with that?
No, that's fine. And the Minn Kota ones, you know, if it wasn't Minn Kota, a couple little turbines are probably more at risk for getting left there.
Well, and they're right along the interstate.
Yeah, it's Minn Kota, and they're out in the public as a demonstration type project. I think we believe that Minn Kota is going to do the right thing. Unless they go bankrupt, and if Minn Kota goes bankrupt, we probably got bigger problems than that. But
would it be a problem asking Minn Kota to just provide assurances to us that they're going to take those down? I mean, why can't we treat them the same and just
ask them to file a financial assurance? You can.
See, that's the
it's only about $100,000 or less to take down one turbine. Wasn't it?
When it's more, 50? When you, they're going to have to get creative getting those down, because the crane is very expensive to bring in, and to bring that crane in for one turbine is tough to think about. So that's the problem with those little turbines sitting out there in the middle of nowhere like that. If you can coordinate it with another project that the crane's in the neighborhood anyway, maybe they're putting up turbines or bringing them down or something, maybe they can find a way to get it down without having to make a special crane trip.
I'm still kind of hung up on the difference of the companies. When Minn Kota and Basin would own, let me back up. Okay, XL, Otter Tail, and MDU, companies that are investor-owned utilities. To me, it does not make sense to have them require financial assurances, because when their life expectancy is done, they're going to come back in front of the commission in a rate case.
Yeah.
And they're going to say, just like they do for any other type of plant. So that's where I don't think we can get one size fits all, because that bucket is definitely different, because they'll come back in front of us, whoever the commission is at that time. And so that's, we don't have any in that category right now. Then you drop down to a Minn Kota and a Basin Electric. They own a lot of generation in the state. They have no requirement, or do they have requirement for their decommissioning of the coal plants that they own?
I really don't know what their requirements are. I'm sure they have to decommission.
See, what I'm going with this is that whatever Basin Electric and Minn Kota have to provide for I don't know their procedures for dismantling their generation whenever that life comes. But it would seem appropriate that whatever type of financial assurances they have to provide to taking down their other generation units, that they would be similar for their wind generation.
Yeah.
And that seems reasonable.
I think there's a distinction, though, between a plant, you would want it to be cleaned up, but in the worst-case scenario, and it didn't get cleaned up, it sets there, and it's one spot out of the whole state. It's not thousands and thousands of acres of stuff setting all over the place. So to me, that's a pretty big distinction.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and is it a problem for these exactly. big companies to provide a financial assurance? I mean, to me, that's
a pragmatic question.
Not a, yeah.
Well, it's reflected in their books.
Right.
And so I'm not an accountant, so I'm not sure I have this right. Maybe Ryan will jump in if I'm way wrong. But my understanding is, if they don't choose to buy a bond or some other type of purchased financial assurance and just do a corporate or self bond, that's sort of reflected as a liability on their books. And so when they're getting financing or something like that, it's another liability that makes their company look less strong than it would if it wasn't there.
It's a commitment.
However, I do think it's kind of important that having that on the books also means when these things are getting bought and sold all the time, we can't even get one built without having special informal hearings to change the name, and they're bouncing back and forth. You know, I don't know up there north where that one is to be constructed, whether it's right now, I couldn't tell you if it's Sequoia or Border Winds or NSP or XL or who's exactly in charge of that thing. And so having something where it is on somebody's books and we have that corporate guarantee, I think is important.
I agree, and I think that we asked them all, and none of them objected to having to do this. So we think it's important for the people, and the companies don't seem to have a problem with it, so I think we just, you know, keep it simple and ask them to provide a first stab at how they want to provide the financial assurances, and we can go from there.
That probably seems the most reasonable at this point in time. So you don't want to get into the other discussion about the other stuff now.
What other stuff?
I'm just curious if you two agree with me on the Otter Tail, the investor owns, not having to require financial assurances.
I don't really, but
we don't have to go there this time.
Well, I understand.
But we're putting the Basin one off. We can make that decision as far as whether Basin needs financial assurance or not when we do the Prairie Wind one.
No, but I'm trying to understand the logic, though, that on why we would need financial assurance from an investor-owned when we're the financial assurance, being the commission that regulates them for decommissioning, and why we put something on one project but not in another.
And that was my thought when we first started this, is that we shouldn't really need to require financial assurances from regulated utilities.
Yeah.
But where do you draw the line there? I mean, then do you require it from Basin?
Sure. Well, I like to do what, and if that's okay with Randy, I mean, Julie's idea, I think, is solid. Go back and have them take a, them being the four companies, take a stab at what they would like to submit. And then we can look at those and we can chart our way forward. But in the interim, could you, maybe I'll look at Ryan and yours as you leave here and work with Jerry, but find out what is out there for a coal plant that needs to get decommissioned, because I don't see it any different. A big coal plant, vice a bunch of wind farms, it's still a big impact, and it could be natural gas.
You know, they would have a salvage value in their depreciation that would be negative. It would be their decommissioning costs, what it costs to get rid of it. And so they would be collecting depreciation expenses for it all along.
Well, we have coal companies file their bonds for the land reclamation, but not for the generation plants. That's a, we don't touch those at all.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Minnesota, our rules mirror Minnesota's. It would be interesting to see how they handle financial assurances for their regulated utilities.
Well, it's even like you take all the XL, the generation XL owns. They own a nuclear power plant. You know, they when that comes time to decommission that, that'll be a whole big rate case. So I just trying to parse out, and you're right, we're going to deal with that this year.
Yeah, but and they should be collecting costs for decommissioning that now from their customers now that are using it.
Right. Okay.
Well, what is this even addressed in, like, and I know they're much smaller, but, like, the newest things as far as plants that we have approved, we've done those gas plants for Basin Electric up there by Alexander and Trenton.
We've done for everybody.
Is there anything as far as a decommissioning plan in those? Or
Are you talking about the ones we cited? Mm-hmm. At Williston and Watford City. No.
Yeah, the law is unique. It doesn't say that we may go back and look at financial assurances for coal generation or gas generation. It is specific to go after wind generation.
We were worried that those turbines would get left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I know from...
You were there?
In Beulah, MDU's old plant is still not cleaned up. The plant is gone. But there's the concrete and stuff like that. I don't know what they were ever required to do one time or what, but...
But if we're unhappy with what MDU's doing, we can call them in here. If there's something you don't like about that, get them in here.
Well, I guess where I was going with it is it probably bothers somebody. I don't know. It's never really stood out to me. If you drive by there, you can see that there was something there once, just concrete and stuff like that. But you don't see it for 30, 40 miles in every direction. It's just if you happen to be right there that it's even noticeable. And so it's just a lot different than these things sticking up 250 or 300 feet in the air for 15,000 acres.
Well,
really what we're protecting, I think, is because these companies are required by their easements to clean it up too. This isn't their land, so they have an additional obligation to the easement holders. But I think what our work does is protects even the easement holders in the event that the company goes belly up, and then there's some form of protection for cleaning it up should the company not be viable or, you know, in the event that... They aren't a working entity when it's time to decommission them. That's what I would see as the biggest reason for having some sort of good protection.
I mean, that's what that surety bond would help procure, secure, or even a letter of credit. Then you go back to the bank that issued that.
Yeah.
Because I was just thinking while you're talking about that, you think of the Noonan radioactive socks, you know, and when you can't find the owner. The state stuck with it then, whereas at least if you've got a surety bond or you've got that letter of credit, you got the source that you can, or a source you can go back to. It might not be that particular company, but there's something there.
And in the Noonan case, you know, if you just totally rely on the easement, I mean, if he wasn't on the run for other law violations, the owner of the building is probably fine with him being there, probably, you know, probably not maybe the one that put him there. And so in some of these cases, you know, and you have this battle out west between absentee landowners and the people who actually live there, do we want in 30 years, as some of these become outdated and no longer used, rather than spending $100,000 tearing each one down, for them to make deals with some absentee landowners that, you know, will give you a tenth of that and just leave it up and they don't care, and so that is, becomes the future of North Dakota's landscape.
But in that case, that would be a landowner choice. So that's the part that gets very slippery as we go through this. We have to be careful. Landowner rights are still landowner rights.
Right, but I think that's why,
just like Rosenberg,
even though the legislature didn't clarify how to handle it, the legislature did pass it on to us to come up with something because of the importance of the landscape in general, I think.
They said May, though. It's always May.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the part about landowner intent, though, if a landowner wants roads left over, I mean, that seems reasonable.
It does.
So, okay. Deadline time frame, what do you think, Jerry, colleagues?
Well, if you tell us where to go...
I think that what Julie said was exactly correct. Have the, almost like we do in a regular case, have the company submit what they would call a draft order and what they think, and then we can tweak that.
If we do the notice thing, do you want us to do it for all four of them?
Let me walk me back through this again, though. If you put the word out to them that they need, that we'd like something back from them, okay, then when you get something back, then that, wouldn't that be the time to put the notice out?
Well, I thought about doing the notice. We have to give them notice, I think,
right,
that we're going to do something to them.
Yes.
Okay.
And so that's the primary purpose of the notice.
All right.
So we want to serve it on them. So the question is, should we just do a notice in the FPL cases? We don't. If we're going to roll the basin one into the Prairie Winds, we don't need a notice to do that. We can just say we're going to consider them later. And then if you're not going to do anything to Mincota, we don't need a notice for them either. I can do orders closing the Mincota case and the Mincota investigation.
Well, why wouldn't we do it? Notice all of them?
We can do that,
and then let them come back. They've all heard our discussions. And let them come back with what they think is appropriate.
So we need to do that. I mean, we've kind of decided what we want to do on Basin.
With the notice, what I'm
button that one up.
What I'm saying is that you intend to require financial assurance from them. If you're not intending to require it from Mincota, then we probably shouldn't do that kind of a notice.
Okay, so we only have to notice if we're going to do something different. And just because we ask for the notice doesn't mean that's going to be our final decision, though.
No.
Okay, I want to make sure that's clear, too.
Well, the notice would be asking them to submit.
Yep. What do you want us? We're going to do something to you. What do you want us to do?
Okay. Submit a financial assurance plan. Is that?
Yeah. And so then they'll file a proposal.
Okay.
And so that's what I wanted to do with the FPL cases. And then I think we should close the other two.
Okay, so the Mincota and Basin would be closed. The FPL ones, we'd put out the notice.
Yeah.
And then they give us their information. We'd meet again to decide what we think. And we may move forward again, or we may not. We probably will move forward. It's just how we're going to move forward.
We'll have something before us
and in the
from them.
In the Mincota case, you'll
I'll give
specify
you a little
what
order.
We, how we think that they will take care of it.
Yeah, I'll give a little order, and I'll just say some things great about Mincota and their project, and that the commission does not find that financial assurance is necessary.
At this time. Well, I am not going to be in favor of that if it's just because Mincota is a good company.
It's because it was a demonstration project with the turbines out there to promote their Infinity Wind project. I won't say these as the reasons, but I'll quote, the project does this, 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 and then I'll say the commission does not find financial assurance and
there's
necessary.
There's two, not 20 or 40 or 60. Yeah.
Could you, in their,
if you got their points
letter to us, Jerry, they spell out, you know, the cost of decommissioning each term is $68,700. Yeah. Minn Kota has been a stable company. They list like four reasons why they don't think that they should be required to provide additional financial assurance.
In there.
So those yeah. might be good to just pull out.
Yep. And it would be a short order that says as little as possible, I would think.
And do you think the response to your notice that they're just going to send a written response, or do you expect there will be dialogue with you trying to get a feel for what it is that we're looking for? Is that appropriate, or is that something that you have to avoid?
I think I already have talked to them, and I think they have some ideas on things that they'd like to submit under that chapter, or under that section, and see if it's acceptable to the commission.
Okay.
And if not, the commission can tell them to, you know, go back to the drawing board.
Or it becomes a starting point for us to add something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, by the numbers, though, again. So Randy and Julie, we're okay with, for the basin one, that say that they incorporate this in their future decommissioning plans, right?
What's the next one of basins, the more sizable one that's the oldest?
The Prairie Winds project, was that cited in like 2008 or 9, 10, something like that?
Because they were installed in 09.
09. And I think that's all that they own. I think everything else they had was on purchase agreements.
So Prairie Winds is the one that's right next door?
Yep.
Yeah, when you go up there, they're all kind of intermixed.
77 turbines.
Yeah. And so if you're driving by there, you have to know that those two were there first.
So we would want the notification of them to be that these will be rolled in
yeah.
with the Prairie Winds project, not one of their other projects, or they'll probably assume that we're talking about one they're going to build later this year and they have still 10 more years. So,
yeah.
Okay.
You're saying notification, Randy, but there won't be a notification on the basin one.
It'll be an order.
Just an order.
Okay.
Just closing the case.
That's
what closing
I meant.
The investigation.
Sorry.
Ooh, that sounds okay to you? Okay, so let's jump to the Minn Kota one next. And this is one I'm still not Randy, you had some concerns about that you said I want to make sure. Because I do also have a little bit of concerns. I don't know. This one, I'm comfortable with Minn Kota having the resources to it, but to just dismiss it based on one turbine, I don't know if that's the right way to handle that. What was the concern you were saying on this?
You know, there's a kind of a natural cutoff point. If I look at this list of all these turbines and farms that we have here, there, I can't remember if there's somewhere where there's three turbines. There is, I don't see it right now. It looks like they're all either one or two.
The blue ones up there, Randy, are below the 500 kW threshold, so they're not the ones at the nun's place.
Yeah. So, but as far as turbines in a site, they're all, I think, either one or two. I thought there was a three, but maybe not. Or else, I think the next smallest one is 13, and then there's a 14. And so it's quite a cutoff. And it seems to me that is an easier cutoff to say, you know, we're not going to mess with these where there's only a couple turbines or one, than it is to say we're going to even do it with one but cut it off at a certain size. If we go by size, oh, gosh, the Jerry was just mentioning all these little, you know, 0.9s and 0.1s. And
those aren't jurisdictional in the statute.
1.6 up at Lake Region, a bunch of kind of almost experimental things. And yeah. So to me it's maybe easier to have the cutoff point at not requiring this when there's only one or two turbines. But I could be persuaded otherwise, too. I was just looking for a simple, clear cutoff.
Minn Kota owns other wind farms, correct? Not just these four.
Yeah, they own... Oh, no, that's Minnesota Power.
I don't recall for sure if they bought... They had some wind coming out of Ashtabula and out of the Langdon wind farm, too. And I can't recall if they owned it or if they were just purchasing agreements. But I.
Well, because what I was thinking is to be consistent and I think fair, these individual turbines from Minn Kota should be rolled up into it. If Minn Kota owns other wind resources, we'd want to roll that up with that other decommissioning plants. If they don't own any other wind resources, then we have a little bit different scenario.
I think if they do, they're not right there. And so the efficiency, you know, Basin's case, a lot of efficiency to be gained by having those dismantled and included in the bond cost with a large group. But if Minn Kota owns anything else, they're not right there. So, like, their crane power and stuff, they're not really probably gaining any efficiency anyway.
You know, I can't remember transferring any site certificates to Minn Kota. That's why I'm...
Well, who owns Laverne Wind Farm? This is abbreviated M Power.
Otter Tail takes a bunch of that
power. M Power was a company that was steel something development, and they changed it to M Power somehow. And they ended up selling that whole thing to FPL. Well, part of it, there was a north field and a south field, and one of the fields went to FPL. And I can't remember if the other field was to Minn Kota or if they were purchasing from it on a purchase agreement.
I think there's a classic, that answer makes a classic example of why we want something like this on the books of someone, the way these things get transferred around. Hopefully by the time, these will all stay useful throughout our careers, but someday some of this is going to come to an end. Trying to trace all this stuff back is going to be a nightmare.
Okay. So
well, on the Minn Kota one, I think, like I said before, repeating some of the reasons that they list in their letter, which seem reasonable to me, they have a Moody's and Standards and Poor's rating that exceeds the guidelines, and restating some of that as to why we aren't, you know, requiring a specific financial assurance for those two towers seems reasonable to me.
Well, the rating, I will. Would be a reason for not requiring.
Correct. Okay.
Right.
Sounds good. So we talked through Basin, Minn Kota, FPL. We put the notice. All right. Anything else, Randy?
Question for you as chairman.
Sure.
If we were contemplating changing some of our rules, we should probably do that in a separate work session, I presume.
Probably. Yeah, we would need to notice that differently.
Are we changing rules or just...
What were you thinking
think
of
we
changing?
Are.
Well, I guess I wonder, as we get to this point, and if we do move forward with these requirements, do we want to continue to keep a 10-year buffer between when they need to put them in and when they build? Do our rules on these wind farms, as far as who we would accept self-bonds from, is a lower standard than it is for coal companies and who we would accept self-bonds from.
I bet my attorney is going to tell me that this is a different discussion off the intent of what we're noticed today.
Yes, that is correct.
That's what I was thinking. That's right.
But I'm certainly open to that discussion if you'd like. But it could go the other way, too. It could be 20 years.
Could be.
Okay. Julie, anything else for today?
No.
Okay.
Just before you, let me just go through my notes here and see if. As far as what we would expect of them, do we want to wait and just see what they have, or did we want to talk about, you know, what would be the bond release requirements? Would they get a certain percentage back when turbines are gone, and another the rest of it when the land is reclaimed, or just see what they come back with? And also, do we want to discuss what kind of renewal intervals there's going to be, if there's one that they agree and we agree that it's going to be X number of dollars per turbine to cover a whole wind farm? Is that the answer for 5 years or for the life of the farm or 10 years, or do we want to discuss that? Either of those, no?
I don't think, once again, we can. I would say this.
I mean, specific to this one.
Well, I would like to wait and see what they come up with, but I like your ideas, though. Why don't we, the next one of these we have would be the work session when they give their stuff back, and we could notice that the discussion on these two cases and rules modifications. Why don't we just notice it that way?
Okay, although these two things that I mentioned aren't rules. They're just something that will need to be worked out in this order if we issue it.
They could be part of their proposals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which I'd like to just wait and see what they say before speculating too much. So, if that's okay.
It's okay with me.
Okay, Jules, anything else?
No.
One more time, Commissioner?
Nope.
Randy?
I'm good.
Staff, Jerry, Ryan?
No.
Okay, we'll go ahead and close the work session on case number PU 13793, 794, 795, and 796. Thank you all.